Want us to be reminded just for a second of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We talked a few weeks ago about Paul's statement in Galatians 2:20 being more than just a statement about his life. It's the statement that is made by every believer. An individual who is a true believer in Christ and a true believer in what he's done for us and has true understanding of what that means for him. This is the statement about his life. And Paul will say again, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I want you to think about that statement being made by Paul, and I want you to consider this. Is this something that Paul was zapped with, for lack of a better term? Is this something that God infused into Paul? Or is this Paul's resolve? Is this something that Paul had automatically given to him and it overwhelmed him so that there was really no other choice for him? Or is this his resolve? It's his resolve. It's what he determines to do. It's what he makes up his mind to do based on what's been done for him. Which brings us to New Year's Eve and resolution. Resolution, intention, resolve, decision, intent, aim, aspiration, purpose, plan. I don't know about the rest of you, but I stopped doing resolutions a long time ago. Because giving resolutions or having resolutions at one point in a year didn't seem to make much sense to me when before New Year's Day was over, I had already failed on them. But instead, I tried to do resolutions on a daily basis. Because I find out that I have to. And every day is another day to start over. Every day is another day to try to bring things under the control of where they need to be and to be what God would have us to be. But I want us to think about this morning on this New Year's Eve day. What would God have us to resolve? What would God want us to resolve to become, to be, to do? In the life that we live. There are a lot of different passages we could go to, but really, they're all in a series and they all seem to kind of fall together. And not listing all of them, but we can list a few. We can see the direction in which God wants us to go. The first one is the summary of all of them. And there's two things. A lawyer asked Jesus this question. What's the greatest commandment that God has given? Of all the things that God has said to do, what's the most important? And Jesus answered him and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the foremost commandment. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Everything God has said for us to do is with regard to this. And the very first thing God would have us to resolve is to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And all of the other commandments that are given to us are showing us in specific detail what it means to do each of these two things. But this is what God would have us to resolve. Not only on New Year's Eve, going into New Year's Day, but in every day that we live. So loving God. What's involved in loving God? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul writes it this way. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the attitude in Jesus depicted both. It depicted both loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, because Jesus, when he came, said, "My whole duty is to do the will of my Father. I am here for no other purpose than to do what he wants." But it also has to do with loving one another. And Paul is using that particular aspect of it to describe how the Philippians were to be. Jesus gave himself up, emptied himself of all that he was, in order that we might be benefited by him. And so he tells us, have this attitude in yourselves which Jesus had, and consider others better than yourself. Consider the needs of others ahead of your own. And this is the attitude that Jesus had that we are to have. And so we begin to get the idea of just how deep this idea of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors, ourselves, really is. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, Paul will write, "Put on the new self. Put off the old one. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Become like God. Become like Christ. And the way you do that is to know the truth. Know the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, you will come to understand what being right is, what righteousness is. And you'll come to understand what is true as opposed to what is wrong and false. Jesus said it in John 14, 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will listen to what he says. And you will do the things that he instructs. Still on the idea of loving God, John writes in his first letter, "But whoever has the world's goods and he sees his brother in need and he closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Loving God means loving those that God loves and loving those that God has created. To the point that if I have the opportunity and I have the ability to help someone who is truly in need, and I do nothing, then how can God's love be abiding in me? It cannot. And it is not. Then 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, John again will write, "Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected." And he goes on in the very next verse to describe the idea that the individual who is striving to be what God would have him to be is becoming more and more like God himself. "Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected." He's come to maturity. He's become adult. He's become full grown. He's become what God would have him to be when he keeps God's word. And he does the things that God would have him to do. Loving others. "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets." In everything, treat other people the way you want them to treat you. And this is the whole fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, Paul will write, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." This is what God wants us to resolve. This is what God wants us to think about and to become. What he wants us to understand when we are falling short, and for us to have the resolve to become different. And for us to have the resolve that we'll no longer live the way we've been living, will we be the kind of people that God would have us to be in loving him? The summary of what Paul starts with in Ephesians chapter 4, and it goes from Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, where the Apostle Paul talks about a lot of different practical points with regard to what it means to live for Christ. Tell the truth. Don't sin in your anger. Control it. Control yourself in it. Don't steal. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. And remove all bitterness and remove all anger. It's the way we're to live and the way that we are to be. Still under the category of loving others, but also under loving God, is don't forsake the assembly. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is becoming, the writer of the book of Hebrews will tell us. Because forsaking the assembly means we care really nothing about our brothers and sisters, and we care nothing about the body that God wants us to be a part of, and the body that God wants us to work in and with, to be an encouragement to others, and to allow ourselves to be encouraged and strengthened by others. So don't forsake the assembly, as some have the habit of doing. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This body of believers are to be our top priority with regard to doing good and helping. And then the benefit going to others is great as well, but the primary responsibility is to look out for those who are part of the household of faith and to take care of them. It's exactly what those New Testament Christians did, and it's exactly what we are to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. It summarizes everything said in the Bible, and it fits exactly in the resolve that the Apostle Paul made every day that he got up. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive, yet it's not me. But the life that I'm now living, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. When we make resolutions, that's the resolution, the resolve, the determination that God would have all of us to have. I hope it's a great new year for all of us. And I hope it's a year in which we continue to grow in the life that God would have each and every one of us to live. There may be somebody here this morning who's ready to begin that life of being baptized into Christ, believing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There may be some here who need to come back to Christ. If you need to respond to his invitation, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.
On Ben.